all-new Ellen, the newly single Julie Bowen.
I don't want to date. Do you? No, I'm married. I don't think she'd be happy about that.
Plus, Ellen's Million Dollar Man.
You could win $35,000 if you get this one.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC 4 New York. Then at 4, get 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, plus your exclusive 10-day forecast, all before the first commercial. Join Stephen Holt, Natalie Pascarella, and Dave Price for News 4 New York at 4 p.m. today on NBC 4 New York.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to this special episode of Tatooine Sons. Star Wars fans are saddened today at the news of the passing of the beloved Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca in the Star Wars films. We'll be joined by our friends from Jumping Into Hyperspace to share our favorite memories and stories from his life. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys recorded an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody was lit.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look at all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I'm BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A shoot to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're probably still sad to hear about Peter Mayhew's passing.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Yeah, well, first of all, if you're trying to tune in, or you tried to tune in a little while ago, or this when we originally were trying to do a live show, we just have had some significant microphone problems that were causing us to have to scrap the idea of the live show. So if you were looking for that on Thursday evening, we apologize. But we'll put this thing out as soon as we possibly can, hopefully by Friday, if not Saturday at the latest, to celebrate the life of Peter Mayhew. But obviously the point behind this episode was originally never going to be about this. We were going to celebrate May the 4th, talk about all of the reasons why we love Star Wars. But then as I was leaving work this evening around 5 o'clock, I got a text from Sam explaining that Peter Mayhew died. And so the whole trajectory of the show has changed. And we're, you know, going to celebrate his life. He's one of the reasons that we love Star Wars. And so it's ironic that as we go into this, what's sort of become the unofficial holiday of Star Wars, May the 4th this weekend, we're going to be talking about one of the original cast of the show. I'm excited about that. Samuel Lehet, you were the one that let me know about this passing. Why don't you share real briefly how you found out about it?
Yeah, so it was odd. I was in the garage working on making a prop or something, and all of a sudden I get this text from my grandpa, who he doesn't follow Star Wars at all. Like, he doesn't get into that stuff. But he texts me and tells me, hey, did you hear about Peter Mayhew passing away, who played Chewbacca? And I said, no. So I quickly checked Facebook, because I'm a part of so many Star Wars groups, checked Facebook to see if, you know, this is really happening. And first post I see is about it, and I keep scrolling, and all the subsequent posts were about it as well. So it was pretty sad to hear, and it was a very, I didn't expect to hear it from that outlet for sure.
Yeah. And then I guess you told, so you found out from Papa. So,
and then I went
and you let me know, but I guess you let BB Nate know.
Yeah, let me know. So it was just strange. I didn't really like, well, you don't really ever expect a death to happen. And it was strange because just a couple weeks ago, he had some health problems, but he was at Star Wars Celebration. He looked happy, and so it's kind of strange seeing it so soon, but
yeah. We're going to explain a little bit shortly kind of what's going on with why we have JG Karse on the show, but we had a plan of integrating him in the show as a regular contributor every single week, and we'll explain that in a little bit. But before we kind of get into all that, I'm going to bring JG on here, and JG, why don't you share just for a few minutes how you found out about it, and sort of why Chewbacca is such a big part of your Star Wars fandom.
Yeah, and so for me personally, it was kind of a weird day because I went into work super early, about 3 a.m., gone off about noon. And so I had decided, knowing that I was going to be on tonight, that I was going to take a nap. And so I woke up around 7:30, and I had a bunch of texts from a bunch of friends saying, like, had you heard or did you hear the news? And whenever you have friends that, like, text you that, especially when there's, like, 3 or 4, you just get this empty pit in your stomach. You know that something's not right. And so I went onto social media, and I saw it instantly. And for me personally, I'm an emotional person. And so just to hear that someone like this had passed away, it was very hard to swallow at first. A lot of people in fandoms know that even though we don't know these actors and these figures personally, because of how much time we do spend with them in this fandom through the movies and through the stories, they do become family. And so losing him just feels like losing an uncle. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, he kind of has a part, like, not for me specifically, but for my dad. And so I had texted my dad because Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew, is my dad's favorite. And so I texted him, and he hadn't heard. So I was kind of in a weird way fortunate that I was the one that was able to kind of let him know. Mm-hmm. For my dad, he grew up with Star Wars because my grandmother took him, and he just really liked it. And I think that was a huge stepping stone for how I got into Star Wars.
Yeah. Why do you feel like your dad connected so much with the character of Chewbacca and, of course, Peter Mayhew as an extension of that?
Yeah, I think it's just because of the personality of Chewbacca, the fact that he is such, like, a rough character. Because if you really do think about it, Chewbacca, he pulls limbs out. Like, he is a brute. But at the same point, like, he's also there for – he's, like, almost like a guardian angel. He's there for the hug. He's there to comfort Leia. He's there to comfort Han and Luke. And he is, like, this guardian angel where he will protect you and he will go full force. But he's also there to comfort. And I think something like my dad, who kind of is kind of like that tough figure, and I think he, like, was able to relate to that. And because of that, because he did relate, he was able to enjoy it so much and then pass on that same love to me.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to spend a lot of time over the rest of this episode talking about Peter Mayhew and the character of Chewbacca, because you can't separate the two. So we'll come back and do that a little bit later. But I do want to kind of move on to the segment that we were bringing you in here for, JG, because if you're a regular listener to Tatooine Sons, you know that JG has been a big part of this show for almost the entire time, as far as I can remember. I'm not sure if you were one of the very first listeners or not, but I feel like you've been a part since that early December first episode in December of 2017, before The Last Jedi. And JG's been, you know, obviously a big promoter of our show through social media and things like that. And he's been a Patreon supporter since we launched our Patreon in February 2017. And then he's become an executive producer of the show. He's a Jedi legend, supporting us at the highest levels on our Patreon, and that's always been awesome. But something kind of changed for me, and I think for Sam and Nate as well, at Star Wars Celebration a few weeks ago. JG, you were coming there basically by yourself. If you can be by yourself when you're amidst 80,000 crazy Star Wars family that you've known through social media for a while now, and I know that you met and ran into a lot of people and had a lot of those connections there. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was real special because we spent a lot of time together. We kind of hooked up early on and spent a lot of time together. And for us, it felt like you were just an extension of our family, mm-hmm. our personalities, our backgrounds, our faith journeys that we're on. All of those are running very similar trajectories, and so it even extended to I think it was the drive to the airport from the shuttle when we when we were driving to fly out there. I text you, we were going back and forth about the panel lotteries that we had just, you were finding out that we were winning them as we were driving there, and getting pretty excited about the different panel lotteries and how that was going to work. And I said some kind of a dad joke because that's what I do. And you laughed and said that you told your mom you said that I sounded just like your dad. And I said, well, you can be one of my kids for the next few days. it felt like that. So we love what you're doing with Blue Saber Podcast. We loved having you on our show in celebration for the Mandalorian episode and the Clone Wars episodes, which everybody should check out. Those were a lot of fun. And we really felt like we wanted to make you a part of this show in a greater way. And so for those of you that have listened for a long time, you know that for about a year now, we've been doing the Hot Takes segment, which Hot Takes is where I would give a list of three different news stories that Sam and Nate had not heard and weren't prepared for. And we got their initial reactions off of it. And that's been a lot of fun for the last year. But what we've decided is we're going to bring JG in for this segment every single week and let JG pick the three articles, the three topics, and him ask us questions about those topics. And I won't be prepared for it, just like Sam and Nate. I'm excited about that. So it is kind of with saddened hearts that we move forward in the show for a few minutes to talk about some of the latest Star Wars news. We're going to skip sort of the poll stuff that we normally do and just move right into a hot take. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to you, JG.
All right, I'm very excited for this, and let's get right into it. The title reveal for Endgame was a success considered by most, but did it end up flopping for Episode 9? The role and presence of Matt Smith has been one of the biggest mysteries of The Rise of Skywalker, and yet we still don't know if he's in or not. And a potential villain backstory was unintentionally announced. Maybe. It's time for Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Okay. So did the title reveal of episode 9 work the way Lucasfilm intended? According to Forbes, it might not have. And according to this article, it said, honestly, had it been something generic like Balance of the Force or A Last Hope, that probably would have been fine. The reveal that The Rise of Skywalker would be the name of Star Wars Episode 9 immediately overshadowed any conversation about what the trailer itself had. Hmm. It was unusually specific for a movie that was intended to be shrouded in mystery. And moreover, it intentionally or not threatened to pit pro Last Jedi and anti Last Jedi Star Wars fans against each other, and specifically reawaken old debates about The Last Jedi and its complicated online reception. My question for you, gentlemen, is did you think that this worked the way that Lucasfilm did, or do you think that this did open up a can of worms?
You're kidding me, right? Are you still there, JG?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and finish your question again.
Okay. So did you guys think that the title reveal for Episode 9 worked the way that it did for Endgame, or do you think it opened up this new can of worms that they weren't intending?
Now I'm going to have Sam answer this first because his initial reaction to the title was somewhat negative.
Yeah. So at the end of the panel, I was all hyped because of the trailer, super pumped, couldn't wait to see what the title was. The laugh just had just finished, and then we see the Star Wars, Blue Star Wars logo, and it starts opening it up, and it says Rise of Skywalker. And at that point, everyone was up on their feet, you know, screaming. And I was still just kind of sitting there in my chair, kind of like holding my chin, like, I'm not so sure about this. It wasn't necessarily negative, but it wasn't entirely positive either when I first saw the title. So I feel like it could have had a negative effect, or not the effect that Lucasfilm was going for, because it certainly didn't have a huge effect on me.
I think I didn't notice really much with Endgame's title release that, like, it was super big. The Rise of Skywalker, I don't really think titles get much traction, period. I don't think that they not necessarily aren't important. I think that they always release the title, like, with Endgame. They release the title with the trailer. The trailer kind of overpowers what the title is being.
Well, yeah, but I think that what this article is suggesting is that this title actually did overpower the trailer, because everybody started talking about who is the last, the Rise of Skywalker, what does that mean? Rise of Skywalker, who's the Skywalker? What does Rise mean? And everybody was talking, even us, when we were recording Chatter Squadron, we spent as much time talking about the title as we did
the trailer.
Palpatine.
Yeah,
showing up in this. So, you know, I do think that it's to some extent overshadowed at JG. You know, it's been a point of speculation. It was part of our show when we talked about, like I said, with Chatter Squadron. It was part of our show last week, even on the Anything Else. We're talking about, the Polish version of this title is Skywalker Rebirth or Reborn or something. And I think that this week the Hungarian title was being discussed with it. And so, you know, we've spent on social media, I know, and I'm sure you've run into this too, JG, that that there's been a lot of conversation about the title as much as there has been about anything within the trailer. What are your thoughts on this, JG?
I think it's really interesting. I think definitely I could see what this article is saying and how it, because of the fact that it specifically uses the word Skywalker. Granted, I think that point is kind of like a little invalid, because we have the specific words of Sith and Jedi in previous titles. Mm-hmm. So I think Skywalker kind of goes along with that. I think that for me personally, I think it did what it was supposed to do. Like, I think while the trailer is important visually, like, the title is a lot of times what gets the conversation going even more forward, especially like if you go back to like The Last Jedi or even The Force Awakens, like, mm-hmm. The Force Awakens, what does that mean? And then of course The Last Jedi, well, is it plural? Is it singular? Who is it? Like, I think The Rise of Skywalker has invoked as much conversation. And for me personally, I really haven't seen as much as like what this article is saying, where it's pitting The Last Jedi versus The Last Jedi fans versus The Last Jedi haters. Like, I think that it's really brought some healthy conversation to the table. I mean, maybe I'm naive, but I mean, from what I've seen, it seems pretty good so far.
Yeah, and I think that part of the reason that this has happened is I'm trying to recall if this has ever happened before, where we get the title of a Star Wars film with the trailer, the first teaser, this first trailer, you know, like, I know it's not been the case in the Disney era. In the Disney era, we got Force Awakens title before we got the trailer. We got The Last Jedi title before that, and obviously Solo and Rogue One as well. So I think that's part of the reason that the conversation has been what it's been about this title, because we were getting all of that at once. And honestly, I think JJ and Kathleen Kennedy and Disney were planning on all of that coming together with this. So yeah, I think that's our hot takes on that.
Definitely. So continue a little bit more into the Rise of Skywalker conversation. The mystery of Matt Smith's role in this movie has continued to take another turn. According to CineBlend, that darkness may be beginning to abate, though, because in the movie section on Disney's United Kingdom website, the page for Rise of Skywalker lists out the returning cast as well as newcomers. And there, sandwiched between Carrie Russell and Dominic Monaghan, is the name Matt Smith. This seemingly confirms that, yes, in fact, the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith, is in Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Now, something to note that I'm going to put in there is that I always fact check. This is what you got to do on the internet nowadays. And I myself went to Disney United Kingdom's website, and that name has since been removed. But I have seen this. This has been, like, reported by many websites. And so I do trust that these people aren't making this up and that this once was there. And so if Disney did remove this, it really does seem that not only is he in this film, but he might have a big role. And honestly, yeah. Like, I know you might not be too familiar, but he's a big time actor. So what are your takes on this?
So, okay. So I'm going to jump in on this one. We're having some Facebook issues, so we're just going to forget Facebook and just jump right into the show here. It's interesting because if we go back a few months, I think it was a couple of months ago, someone specifically asked Matt Smith mm-hmm. about his role, and he said he didn't even know he was in the movie. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm wondering is going on here. My mind goes down these paths pretty quick. So we know Emperor Palpatine is coming back. There's been some rumor that even Matt Smith was going to have some role to do with Palpatine at some point. Perhaps maybe a Darth Plagueis role or something like that has been one of the rumors about him. If it showed up, if it was on you said it was the UK site?
Yep, Disney okay. United Kingdom's website.
So if it was on there and then it got pulled off, which again, if there's enough news sources reporting it, it's likely that it was actually on there. That mm-hmm. It didn't get put up there because it was wrong. It got put up mm-hmm. there prematurely mm-hmm. and they yep. pulled it because they're hiding it. So I am confident we've got something to do. He's got something to do with Palpatine and they're holding it back. What do you think about it, BB Nate?
I agree. I remember the whole he was going to be in Star Wars and then he said he wasn't going to be, and I thought that was that, but then you brought up that he was put onto the website, and Disney is kind of notorious for putting stuff up there prematurely and then having to take it down.
Yeah, it's happened a couple times.
So I would think it's true because they've done it before, and what's different now?
Yeah. Okay.
So,
who do you think he's going to be? What role do you think Matt Smith is going to be having in this? And why would he be saying he doesn't even know he's in the movie?
I think, well, A, he's an actor, so he can lie very well. but I think that his role is kind of like a henchman, maybe, for Palpatine.
Okay.
But I feel like that may be too much of a small-time role for a big.
Why would they be hiding it if he was a henchman? What do you think about the same of that?
I thought somewhere with like those costume leaks and stuff, I thought we saw something that he was just like an officer. Like he just had like a...
No, I think that was somebody else. I don't. That was the Richard...
Oh, that's it.
Richard Grant, I think is who we were
seeing. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I like the idea that he's got something to do with Palpatine, and it makes sense. He could probably put off that vibe. As to who, I got no idea. I like the Plagueis idea. Fans have been begging for more of that in canon, so I wouldn't mind that. As to who else he could be related to Palpatine, I don't know. We still just don't know. A lot. But him saying that he didn't know he was in the movie, that's...
It was a little cheeky to say that. he had been rumored pretty heavily for almost a year that he was in this movie. So for him to say that, it was a little bit bizarre. And it was sort of a throwaway moment. He was like ambushed with the question. So I think he was just trying to be... To be cute, maybe he can come back later and say, "I don't know, maybe they cut my part out." It's happened with other story, other actors before. But if he's playing Plagueis, I certainly doubt that they're going to cut him out. So, what do you think about this, JG? What are your thoughts?
I think he's 100% in this. First of all, he's British, so he's going to be cheeky. He's going to be very, he's going to be very coy. I think also I think a lot of times, like especially Matt Smith is a very very big time British actor. One of the biggest ones you get out there besides like David Tennant and some of the other ones out mm-hmm. there. And I think if you cast him, he's going to be in a big role because of the fact that he has so much range in emotions and actions, especially for those familiar with Doctor Who and playing the 11th Doctor for those many years. Mm-hmm. He is very, very good at what he does. And you don't just add Matt Smith or even rumor that Matt Smith is in this movie if you don't have him doing something that's very demanding. And something that's very going to be something very rich for the audience to watch. Mm-hmm. I think that potentially, from what I'm gathering, is that he is actually going to be the other acolyte, the other apprentice that Snoke had that was referenced in the Last Jedi companion book that was out.
Interesting. Tell me more, because I'm not sure I know what we're talking about here, JG.
So in the companion book, I forget which one, if it was like the visual guide or what, but one of those books that came out, it had talked about how Snoke, while he was also training Kylo, he had another initiate, at least one other one. And so I had heard a rumor that they were potentially going to play with this a little bit in The Last Jedi, but they decided not to. And so I feel like that the fact that we have such a very high caliber A-list actor coming in out of nowhere, that's also being very shrouded in mystery, and we have this content, like, they're not going to put that piece of information there for no reason. They obviously have developed that storyline for some reason. So I think it's going to come into play big time in this movie, and it could be potential the part of the redemption for those who want redemption.
Nice. Well, in the immortal words of Supreme Leader Snoke, we shall see.
We shall see indeed. And quite appropriately speaking of Ben Solo, a very interesting final hot take for you guys tonight. A potential Kylo Ren backstory novel had been unintentionally revealed, maybe. So last night, a Twitter user by the name of This Caring Lark, I definitely want to give her credit because she was the first one to find it. She had discovered that on the Australian website for Penguin Publishing had a wrong description for the Delilah Dawson Black Spire.
Yeah.
This description said, "This is unconfirmed and still subject to change. Kylo Ren is a relatively new character in the Star Wars universe, first making his appearance in The Force Awakens and played by Adam Driver. With a complicated origin story, this book hopes to look deeper into Kylo Ren's past and reveal more of the mysteries behind the mask. Most people are taking that this is a hoax and that this is a joke, but at the same point, are you guys potentially interested in a Kylo Ren backstory? And do you think that this is something in the works for the journey to The Rise of Skywalker?"
Oh, I'm almost assuredly, because they're going to have a journey to The Rise of Skywalker books.
They did say that at the Lucasfilm Publishing panel.
So I am sure that they're going to be releasing a Kylo Ren novel or comic book or something or whatever they're deciding to do with it. I think that they're going to be releasing something about him.
And didn't you say that you saw something about Galaxy's Edge to where Kylo is going to be walking around?
No.
Didn't you say something like that?
I don't remember that.
So. I thought I heard something like, you know, Kylo Ren will be walking around at Galaxy's Edge as well, which would play into this. But as for its validity, like, you just went so many rabbit trails down the Australian website for Penguin Publishing, you know. So I'm not so sure about that. But as for if I'd want it, I'd love it. I would love that. You know, we don't know a whole lot about how he fell. We know
that's what makes this really interesting, is finding out about his fall. And now if we kind of tie it all into the title, The Rise of Skywalker, there's some that suggest, I know Anthony Bresnikan had a different view last week on the show, but some would suggest that the Skywalker is obviously Ben Solo. That's one of the most common responses that we're getting to our questions about who The Rise of Skywalker is talking about. We have this Matt Smith thing, maybe being one of the, like a rival apprentice of Snoke, maybe that's part of the backstory that they're bringing in through this potential Kylo Ren backstory novel or whatever. I think it's we know so little about Rey and Kylo Ren's backstory. We don't know Rey's parents. We spent a lot of time talking about that, especially over the last few weeks with the trailer and our episode last week. But Kylo Ren's backstory is almost as obscured as Rey's. We know his parents, we know he fell, but we don't know exactly when, what was going on, who this Snoke was. I remember in The Force Awakens, you've got Han talking to Leia, and Leia blames Snoke, and everybody's talking about Snoke like they know who, like, yeah, this guy is. We don't know what that story is. So if we can get that story in a Journey to the Rise of Skywalker series of novels or stories that can help set up a backstory, I'm all in. Take my money. What do you think, JJ?
Mm-hmm. I think that this is definitely, I can see why people are saying, because the wording is kind of odd, and it's definitely like something that was not meant to be there, whether it's a hoax or not. I think that this is something very possible, and that it is something in the works. I think because of potential story with Matt Smith potentially being a rival, I think that plays in deeply. I think also something to look back is kind of like the past journeys. And the journeys of The Last Jedi, we had the one-off book of Phasma, and mm-hmm. she had her – as of now, I mean, you never know in Star Wars and fandom. As of now, her demise. And so I think that this is I think it's a little more fuel to the fire there, that this could definitely be coming, especially if he does meet his fate in this movie. I think we obviously really – and we need this story, I think, because there is still so much mystery, like you guys said. There's so much unknown. And like even in The Last Jedi, it teases that like – there's so many different perspectives from this story. Like you look at it from Leia, from Han, from Luke. It is such I think Ben Solo is really one of the, besides Rey, because the fact of, we think that Rey is so interesting and what her past is because of how powerful she is. I think Kylo is actually a little bit more interesting just because of his connections, his family. Mm-hmm. And there's so much emotion there. And I think this is going to happen. I think it's once they announce that, I mean, they teased on the Star Wars show that there was going to be announcements on May 4th that they can't wait because of the fact that just the placement of their show. I wouldn't be surprised if they announce some books tomorrow. You never know. So I think this is coming sooner than later.
Awesome. Well, JG, thank you so much for this. I think it went really well, so I want to give you some encouragement on that, because I know that this was a new experience for you. So thank you so much for doing this. This was awesome.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are not, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it every week going forward now, if you're not listening to Blue Saber Podcast, you're not a true Star Wars fan. So that's all we have to say about that. Thanks, JG.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
All new Ellen, the newly single Julie Bowen.
I don't want to date. Do you?
No, I'm married. I don't think she'd be happy about that.
Plus, Ellen's Million Dollar Man.
You could win $35,000 if you get this one.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC 4 New York. Then at 4, get 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, plus your exclusive 10-day forecast, all before the first commercial. Join Stephen Holt, Natalie Pascarella, and Dave Price for News 4 New York at 4 p.m. today on NBC 4 New York.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.
So we were all saddened today, as we mentioned earlier when we opened the show, to hear about the passing of the gentle giant, as Mark Hamill called him, Peter Mayhew. Most people in sort of outside of geekdom probably don't know that name, but they know who he is when you say Chewbacca. And so we are pleased to be joined today to discuss Peter's life and Chewbacca, and then a little bit about why we love Star Wars by the amazing hosts of Jumping Into Hyperspace podcast, Carl and Rebecca, next on the show.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
So for us, it was the last day of Star Wars Celebration. I think we were coming out of the Star Wars Resistance panel, and What character was he? Was in the mask. What character were you cosplaying, Carl?
Oh, it was Darth Miles from Knights of the Old Republic.
There we go. Yeah. So he came up and he was like, Tatooine Sons. And then we had this conversation. And then later on that day, you guys, we were standing all in line to get on the shuttles after the very end of Star Wars Celebration. And you guys came up to us again. And it took us a second to remember that we'd seen you earlier that day. Because you look very different when you're not dressed in that costume. So we're really excited to have you guys on the show today.
We're excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your podcast so our listeners can learn a little bit about jumping into hyperspace.
Sure.
So go ahead, Carl. Sorry.
Yeah. So we're a relatively new podcast. We're centered out of southern Wisconsin. I live in Madison and Rebecca lives in Kenosha, which is a city between Milwaukee and Chicago. We're siblings and this was born out of an idea that Rebecca had. She was a college student at the time with a business degree and wanted to use some of her marketing skills. And we decided, well, let's start a Star Wars podcast and talk about some of the things we love. Kind of took a break a little bit, but, you know, back at it, you know, with the excitement around all the stuff that's coming out for Star Wars in 2019. But I'm just happy to be here. I don't know if Rebecca wants to add any more to that.
You know, it's just a matter of, you know, two people who've got some opinions and got the gift of gab. So we were like, why don't we use it to kind of, you know, create, you know, be on the platform of Star Wars and kind of, you know, network with other Star Wars fans and, you know, kind of really kind of forge ourselves in this community because we've been in it for so long. So.
That's great. Well, you know, Star Wars podcasting as a family affair is something that we're definitely all about. Yeah. So we're super excited to have you guys on there. And then, of course, my mother grew up on Lake Geneva, right not too far from where you guys are.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. And so I've only been there one time. I had a business trip. My mom moved away from there before and all of our family really moved away from there long before I was born. And I had a business trip to Chicago and I got in a day early and I figured, what the heck? I'm that close. So I'm going to drive up there. And I drove by and I saw the church that my grandfather built, made the stained glass window, or my great grandfather made the stained glass windows in all that kind of stuff. So it was pretty cool. So we're really excited to have you guys on there. So kind of tell our listeners a little bit about what the format of your show is. And what they can expect if they tune in.
Well, we are a news podcast. We're kind of a news and commentary. So we try to keep on top of, you know, all the news that comes out about Star Wars. And, you know, with lately there's been so much coming out that we try to, you know, stay on top of it and, you know, add our commentary and add what we think, you know, is kind of, you know, what this means and what this could potentially mean. So we kind of start off with, you know, like the little things, you know, whether it be rumors or, you know, things like that. We have a little segment called News at Lightspeed, where we kind of just, you know, kind of like a lightning round almost of where we kind of talk about, you know, just little things here and there. We just kind of bounce off each other. And then we have, you know, our main topics, you know, whether it be, you know, our celebration, our, you know, Resistance season one recap kind of thing. So, I mean, we're mainly news centered. You know, sometimes we'll do things like theories and rumors and things of that nature. So,
That's fantastic. Well, obviously the big news going into this evening has been sort of the, I don't want to say shocking, because he's been having some health issues and we knew about that. We heard that even at Star Wars Celebration, but, but sort of the too soon, passing, of Peter Mayhew. Tell us, how you guys found out about it and sort of what your reaction was. I'll start with you, Carl.
Well, I was actually on the way to my guitar lesson and got a call from my mom. She's like, did you hear the news? And I said, no, what are you talking about? And she said that Peter Mayhew died. And, you know, I was kind of looking at my phone and, you know, there wasn't a lot out yet. It must have been within minutes of the announcement or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, it happened, and I was quite shocked. So it did not make for a very productive guitar lesson because, it's on top of the social media and stuff like that. But
yeah. What about you, Rebecca? How did you find out?
This isn't all that exciting, but same way. My mother, our mother, kind of sent us both a text at the same time saying that Peter Mayhew died. And then I went on his Twitter and I saw the announcement from his family. It looks like he actually passed away on Tuesday. Yeah. So it took the family a day to kind of announce it, which, you know, that's their prerogative. You know, if that's how they wanted to do it, that's totally their thing. But so when I found that out, I just was like, I mean, I wasn't shocked. Like you had said, you know, this is something we've kind of all been kind of recognizing for a while, but you know, it's still very hard to hear because he's been such a pivotal role in not just the movies, but within the community and within the fandom as well. And he's had such a strong presence, and so it still is hard to hear. So
yeah, he's definitely one that whenever you go to any kind of a Star Wars convention or a Comic Con of any significance, you kind of always expect that Peter was going to be there be a part of taking, you know, photographs with people. And he would, it's funny. I remember I think it was 2017. We heard that he was trying to sign autographs for free away from the paid area, just because he loved doing that kind of thing and just loved the fans so much. And he kind of got his hand slapped a little bit because of the, you know, the way that it works at a convention like that. But what do you guys think are some, like, or what are some of the stories about or memories that you guys have about Peter Mayhew in his role as Chewbacca or anything like that? Rebecca, go first on that.
Well, I think I might be speaking ahead of Carl here. one of my very first memories of even going to a fan event for Star Wars was Star Wars Celebration 3 right before Revenge of the Sith came out.
Wow.
And we were just kind of sitting there, you know, just we were, I think I was 13 at the time. Carl was like 15. We were just sitting there, and I mean the man was how tall? 7 foot something. So you can't
massive.
You can't miss him. You know what I mean? So he kind of just walks past us and people are waving at him and he's waving back. And I was just a kid at the time. So I was just kind of like, I didn't do anything. I just stopped and like stared at Carl from across the room. I'm just like, oh my God, that was Peter Mayhew. And you know, that was so typical of him though, to just walk the floor and just interact with everybody. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. What about you, Carl?
Well, and to add to that, maybe this is too much detail than it needs to be, but I had to use the facilities at around that time, and I specifically remember him using a stall next to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm like 5 foot something, and there he is standing next to me, like 7 foot something. That was an experience.
That's awesome.
There was that, but I think I might fast forward a little bit, a couple of years, because it was Celebration. They were going with numbers at the time, and it was a Celebration, I think 5, and that was like 2010 when that convention was going. And I was like 19 or 20 years old, and I had gotten an autograph from him. It was still around that time where, you know, the celebrations were still relatively small. They're nothing on the scale that they are now. and it was run, it wasn't run by Reed Pop when they were at that time. So like they kind of were playing it a little loosey goosey when it came to the autographs, and like they let you take pictures with the celebrities afterwards, you know, like if you had a camera or whatever, like, hey, can I get a picture real quick? Whatever. When I got my autograph from Peter Mayhew, he was willing to take a picture with me. You know, he was kind of like in a hurry, so he's kind of like looking away in the picture, but it was still cool that, you know, he he was willing to take the picture. And I think that really speaks to, you know, like what's been stated already, that, you know, he's willing to take out the time for the fans, and because this is something that he really loves and all that. And, you know, and to add one more, if you will, the most recent celebration, I understand that he had to miss a day or whatever, yeah. But came in, I think the following day. And, you know, of course the lines were, huge, but, mm-hmm. And you could tell he was in a little bit of pain with, you know, having gone through a surgery recently or mm-hmm. whatever, but he still powered through it.
Yeah.
And despite all the pain, he was doing it. And it's because he cares about the fans. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, let's bring Sam and Nate into the conversation a little bit and have them share, and then we'll come back to you guys. Kind of, what's your favorite Chewbacca scene? We'll start with that. BB, Nate, what? He's like, wait, I haven't had a chance to think. Okay, I'll go Samuel. We'll throw it to you. You're the senior that's graduating from high school in a couple of weeks, so you should be prepared. Because you're older. So.
And I'm not prepared.
All right, so what's your favorite, like, Chewbacca scene? And you gotta start thinking, all right? Because I've got some favorite Chewbacca scenes that Jonas are in, and so it's got to be a Peter Mayhew one. So
it's got to be Peter Mayhew. Okay, well, that's pretty easy. I was like, when he's, like in Empire Strikes Back, when he's trying to help out 3PO. You know, he's like, trying to help out, but he's still, you know, he's trying to be gentle, but he's still that giant, massive Wookiee that, you know, like JG said, rips people's arms out of their sockets. So he's, you know, he's not doing a great job at helping 3PO out, but he's, you know, he's trying to, like, he's still
bumping his head and, right, and all that,
putting
kind
it
of
on
stuff.
Backwards and, right. and stuff. You know, he still cares about the guy, but he's still that monk, big hulking Wookiee. So I just love that. It like perfectly sums up the character in my mind. So that's probably one of my favorite scenes. That, or when he's like, you know, choking out Lando because of Han or whatever. Again, still being super, you know, loving and caring towards his friends. You know, that's one of the most endearing traits of Chewbacca to me.
Yeah, what about you, BB Day? What's one of your favorite Chewbacca scenes?
Definitely the end of Return of the Jedi, where he
gets
into the AT-AT. He's, like Sam said, very, very rough and tough, but it starts working with these little tiny Ewoks
yeah.
for them to take over an AT-AT. I found that to be great.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. What about you, Rebecca?
Probably the end of A New Hope. When Han and Luke got their medals, as we all famously know, Chewbacca did not get one.
Oh, man.
But he still gave us one final growl at the end, because, you know, he wanted to make sure that he was recognized as well as everyone else. And I just think that attests to the character and his, you know, his strong will and his, you know, determination. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we know that in the new canon, they've added, I think it was in a comic book, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, they added a medal to Chewie. So
ooh.
Leia finally gave him the medal. And there was some that actually wondered if the medal that we saw in the Rise of Skywalker trailer was Chewie's, but I'm pretty sure that that's Han. Han's. What about you, Carl? What's your favorite Chewbacca memory, or Peter Mayhew Chewbacca memory?
Well, my top two were taken, the AT-AT and the Bespin scene, but I will add to that and probably just go with, you know, the cliche one, the let the Wookiee win scene, you know.
Oh, you stole mine now, dude. All right.
You know, it's he you know, might have been in the thick of you know, was it Sabacc or Hollow Chest or Hollow Chest? You know, Beckett might have beat him, but he still won over our hearts.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The Wookiee won over our hearts.
Yeah, I think that it was probably the Force that caused you to choose that one, because then it made me think through some of the other scenes, and I think I found one that I would have actually chosen sooner had I thought about it. So that was good. There's the that moment in Cloud City when Han is getting ready to be lowered into the carbon freeze chamber, and he's, you know, Han is, or Chewie is trying to take out and save Han, and Han, you know, tells him to settle down, buddy, and it tells him that it's his responsibility to watch out for Leia, and that's like, that's the moment you can tell that there's like, there's something serious that Han is feeling for Leia in the way that he passes on. Like, I guess you can almost wonder if he's passing on the life debt at that moment and telling Chewie that his life debt is now extended to Leia. And that was a pretty awesome moment.
Good one.
Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot that one, but you know, I mean, arguably that's still, I mean, regardless of who's in it, it's still one of the best scenes in all of Star Wars, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, not just for Chewbacca, but for all the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was going through Twitter here before the show and pulling together some comments from some of our Star Wars family, meaning, you know, so, you know, Billy Dee Williams and Pablo and Jonas and Mark Hamill. And let's share a couple of those and kind of get some thoughts on those. Billy Dee Williams is the one I'm looking at right now. It says, much more than Chewie to me, my heart hurts. I will miss you, my dear friend. Thanks for the great memories. That was a and then you have, of course, you have that in the tweet, you have a picture of Billy Dee standing there next to Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew, with the C-3PO strapped to his back. Then you have Pablo Hidalgo.
I just want to add something about that. This is going to make the scene in Rise of Skywalker where Chewie and Lando are flying the Falcon. It's going to have a much different, much more bittersweet feel.
Yeah, especially because, yeah, I mean, you know that it's Jonas that's playing that character now, but you can't, that's actually a testament to how amazing Jonas is in picking up that mantle, because it doesn't feel like a different Chewbacca.
Not at all.
And I know that Peter has been really, or was really instrumental in coaching Jonas and working with him and on set for the filmings to give Jonas
coaching
and ideas of what Chewie would do in different circumstances. And so that's, you're right, that is going to be a big one. Pablo Hidalgo, he tweeted out, just heard about Peter Mayhew, a wonderful man. One of my favorite memories was him generously explaining to our Clone Wars animation team what's at the heart of Chewie, to inspire the artist so that Peter's spirit still inhabited his animated form. He will be missed. Are you guys big Clone Wars fans? And what are your thoughts on Pablo's comments there?
I love the Clone Wars. I'm very excited for it to be coming back.
Yeah.
I didn't know to what extent the involvement that Peter had in the production of you know, those episodes of the Clone Wars where Chewbacca's in it. That actually surprises me, but that's awesome that, you know, he had that, you know, involvement and they brought him in and tried to channel Peter as much as possible to get, you know, encapsulate the character, you know, and translate it from, you know, live action to, you know, a cartoon format. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Can I just add, sorry, on the topic of Pablo, I just opened up the Twitter thread about his tweet about him explaining, you know, what Chewie was to the Clone Wars team. Someone had bravely asked, can you elaborate on some of the things he mentioned? And he said that some of it is in the season's DVD features. A lot of it was about Chewie's inquisitive nature and having the animators watch him move and express himself in person to help the animators kind of, you know, develop their storyboards and what have you was very valuable to them.
That's awesome. It's going to be interesting now when we go back and we rewatch those episodes that have Chewie in it in the Clone Wars and start to see Peter Mayhew and that Chewbacca as part of that. That's really interesting. John Kasdan, obviously involved in Star Wars since he was a kid. His dad, Lawrence Kasdan, was involved in all the original trilogy stuff, and John was a part of, obviously, Solo. He tweeted out, hashtag Mayhew did an extraordinary thing, conveyed empathy, humor, and incomparable soulfulness all from inside that furry suit. My dad often said Chewie is the moral center of Star Wars. That's a really interesting quote, John relaying on behalf of his dad, Lawrence. It's something Peter created and Jonas has faithfully continued and expanded. What do you think about that, Rebecca, about the idea of Chewbacca being the moral center of the Star Wars universe?
Well, you know, it's like I hadn't seen that tweet until you mentioned it just now. And my first thought is that it's kind of a bolder statement, considering it's all about what we've focused on up until this point was the light side and the dark side. But in a way, he's very much right. I think, Chewie's always kind of been that ground, the thing that kind of kept, everything grounded and centered. He was always there in the middle of the action when, fighting for what was right. You never saw this character, falling by, the wayside or what have you. It was always just kind of this wise, figure amongst the two, forces kind of keeping everything together. And I think that quote is kind of, brilliant in its own way.
And I think if I can add to that, it really gets right down to it. I mean, whether on screen or you see somebody cosplaying as Chewbacca, the immediate reaction that a lot of people have is they want to go up and give him a hug, he is the teddy bear. And Peter Mayhew has actually kind of framed him as such, like, I'm the teddy bear kind of thing. That's the role that he has. And, in spite of all the legends and things you hear about Wookiees, and Wookiees are going to pull your arms off, Chewbacca is, is going to pull your arms off and things like that. At the end of the day, he is kind of that character that, even in the thick of the tension, like in that scene of Force Awakens when Leia reunites with Han, all of a sudden Chewbacca shows up and Leia runs to give him a hug, kind of thing. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Now, I just read this, the statement that was actually put out by Jonas about the passing. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it says, devastated to hear about the passing of a dear friend and mentor, the great Peter Mayhew. Peter's warm welcome when I came aboard as his double in The Force Awakens meant so much to me. Studying the character he helped create was always a daunting task, but one that was made easier by his tutelage and kindness as we sought to bring Chewbacca to life for a new generation. He was an absolutely one-of-a-kind gentleman and a legend of unrivaled class, and I will miss him. As the entire Star Wars universe grieves over their terrible loss, my thoughts and prayers are with his wife Angie and his family and all of the fans whose lives have been impacted, or he has impacted. Rest assured, his legacy will live on, and the spirit that he gave the character when he first donned the suit will never be forgotten. Rest in peace, my friend. Thoughts on Jonas and what he said there, guys?
I think that says it all.
Yeah.
I liked it because it was very, he talked about not just himself and how he was impacted by Peter, but by everyone, whether it be his family, his, the community at large. It's like, he really just kind of embodied all of that. So it was very well said on Jonas's part.
Yeah. What do you guys think about sort of the Jonas connection, Samuel the Hutt and BB Nate? We'll start with you, Sam. And what Jonas said about it.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely would have a different connection with him than anyone because he was, he had to be taught one-on-one by Peter to be able to play the character the right way. That's just a testament to how great of a teacher Peter has to be, because like you said, we don't even realize that it's a difference between Jonas and Peter. He just did such a great job at teaching Jonas. And also, like you said, he definitely has impacted all Star Wars fans. He's such an iconic character throughout the entire, all three trilogies. While he wasn't in the prequels a whole lot, he was there. Yeah. So he's definitely has an impact on Star Wars fans worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. BB Nate, what do you think it was like for Peter Mayhew when he found out that, yeah, he loved playing this character, and everybody, you know, that has ever heard any interviews with Peter or anything like that, he talked about how much he loved playing this character. But the reason that Jonas was brought in was because of the sort of the physical limitations that Peter was having because of some health issues and legs and his knee issues and things like that. He just couldn't move around the way that he needed to move around to be Chewbacca anymore. And that's why Jonas was brought in. What do you think that would have felt like for Peter when he found out that he wasn't going to really fully be able to play this character anymore? And then they were going to ask him to pass that on. And then do we see that reaction take place in the way that he actually functioned? What do you think about that?
I think that Peter is a very cool guy, as we found out. And so I really feel like he would have been more proud than anything for another person or fan to take up that mantle. I think he would have been proud to be able to mentor him on what Chewbacca is like instead of just sitting back saying, hey, see ya. Mm-hmm. So I think that he would have been happy about it more than anything.
I think he would have, in a way, he would have been sad, and that's just understandable, but I feel like he would have really embraced it and, be proud that someone else was going to take up the mantle. And I think, I think he's probably said something, I just don't know of it off the top of my head, but I think he said somewhere that he was really proud of Eunice, and I'm sure if he hadn't said it, I'm sure he thought that for sure. So yeah, I feel like he would have been sad, but proud,
yeah,
and ready to take on that challenge.
Yeah. So now as I'm sort of thinking about this and having a chance to talk about it has really been interesting. What do you think this means for the future of the character, especially as it relates, Rebecca and Carl, I'll ask you guys, as it relates to the rise of Skywalker? There's been some speculation, fans are always coming up with different theories and different thought processes that maybe we would see Chewbacca, something happened to him. Maybe he would be killed or die or sacrifice himself to save Ben or Leia or something like that. If that's, I guess my question to you guys would be, do you think that that's something that's possible in The Rise of Skywalker? And if that's the way that they were going, do you think that they may pivot now and change some things as a result of the death of Peter? I'll start with you, Rebecca.
I think that Jonas has really taken on kind of the mantle of Chewbacca. So I'm not entirely sure that, things will change or pivot in that regard, because I feel as though he's been trusted with this role. However, that doesn't mean that I don't think that that's a possibility of Chewbacca, something happening to Chewbacca in The Rise of Skywalker. And I think, the fact that if we're kind of referencing back to the trailer a little bit, the line "no one's ever really gone" seems to be something that was really made prominent in the trailer. So, I feel as though that, that something could very well happen to that character. You very well could be right. And, whether he sacrifices himself or, does something and to help Ben Solo out, what have you. I think that, the idea and the concept of death and, is going to be explored in this movie. Mm-hmm. So is kind of what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. And that, that might entail losing a character that's almost or possibly over 200 years old at this point in the Star Wars, Star Wars universe. So that's kind of how I'm thinking about that.
Yeah. What about you, Carl?
I don't know. I kind of question that they might take a different change, especially at this point where we are in the post-production of the movie. As Rebecca said, Jonas did kind of take on the mantle, and Peter was so gracious and kind of mentoring him so that the character of Chewbacca can continue. And I mean, I would even say from a purely marketing standpoint, in so many ways,
Chewbacca kind of is the consistent face of a lot of different facets of Star Wars, whether it's packaging or, you know, pictures or what have you. He's just kind of a mainstay in terms of the franchise. And I don't know that they would take anything a different route with him. I do think that, you know, we might explore the concept of death, and, you know, no one's ever really gone. And, you know, well, you know, after all these generations, we'll always be with you. But I think Chewbacca at this point is just kind of that mainstay, as you know, you said before, the moral center that, you know, kind of keeps all of the characters, no matter the generation, grounded. So I think those themes are probably something that are going to be explored with other characters. And I think Chewbacca, I think, is probably here to stay.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I'll read this last comment. This one, obviously, from Mark Hamill, who he and Peter were obviously very close. It says, he was the gentlest of giants, a big man with an even bigger heart, who never failed to make me smile, and a loyal friend who I dearly loved. I'm grateful for the memories we shared, and I'm a better man for just having known him. Thanks, Pete. R.I.P. Peter Mayhew. Hashtag heartbroken. So, yeah, I think we all are. It's we're starting to see this happen more often than we want. You know, with Kenny Baker and then Carrie Fisher, and now of course Peter, it's unfortunately becoming too common for us. But hey guys, thank you so much for taking some time to talk a little bit about Star Wars, and especially Peter Mayhew and Chewbacca on that. You guys can go ahead and tell all of our listeners and viewers where they could find your show, and how often you guys try to get an episode out, and that kind of stuff.
Sure. Carl?
Yeah, sure. So I think the easiest way to get a hold of us and find us is through our social media handles, and that is at Jump Hyperspace. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our carrier is Libsyn, who distributes our podcast information, and our website there is jumpingintohyperspace.libsyn.com. But we're generally available on where most podcasts can be found. So like Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. I think we just got on to iHeartRadio.
Nice. Wow.
And yeah, so those are the big ones. Mm-hmm. And we're taking a break this week from podcasting, since we got through a couple of celebration recap episodes, but generally we try to do once a week format, you know, usually in the realm of, you know, an hour and a half episode. Sometimes we'll do, you know, if we're missing something important, then sometimes we'll do two episodes a week, but that's generally what listeners can expect.
Well, that's awesome. Well, and you didn't take a break because you were with us for the last 30
minutes.
That's
correct.
So thanks, guys, for joining us. Have a great May the 4th. And I guess, you know, we'll say May the 4th be with you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Also with you guys. Thank you so much.
Well, I mean, I guess, is there anything else that we can talk about today?
Anything else?
I don't know. I mean, not really a whole lot happening.
Yeah, I mean we don't really do a banter section at the beginning. This whole episode's sort of been upside down, and that's okay. It should be when you're talking about something like this. But you know, I want to take a second to congratulate you guys both. You guys both finished school for the year. So school's over, and Samuel, a little extra congratulatory congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations on graduating from high school. That's pretty awesome.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
Senioritis was starting to kick in, but fortunately it was on the last day, so it didn't really impede with anything. So now I'm good. I can just kind of veg out for like 4 weeks, and then I got summer classes.
Yeah. College starts when? What's the date?
May 28th, I think.
No rest for the weary with Samuel ahead. So. And then what's our plans for May the 4th? What are you guys doing?
We're going to be in Breckenridge, which is about...
a couple hours away.
Yeah, a couple hours drive away. And we're
up in the mountains. So
hanging out there for the weekend
ish.
A little mini vacation, yeah. Like almost a staycation, but where we get to go up there. Christy's parents have a place up there that we're going to stay in for a couple of days and build a fire and play some games and go to the hot tub and go swimming at the pools and just have a good time. So mm-hmm. that's going to be a lot of fun. So that's all happening this weekend. Yeah. And then what we were going to be doing at the beginning of the show, which we decided to wait until the end, was to make our big announcement. We talked about it last week, and that we were going to be having a big announcement for this show. But because of everything that's going on, it wouldn't have been appropriate for us to lead the show with the announcement. But we are really excited about this. You know, we've been a member of the Star Wars Commonwealth since February of 2018.
Yeah, that's how we started our Patreon as well.
Yeah, exactly. Almost all the same thing. So yeah. It kind of all happened at around the same time. And it's been awesome. We love those guys. Yeah. Tumbling Saber. You know, obviously all of them that you talk about. Nerd Room. Rogue Squad. Rogue Squadron podcast. Generation X-Wing.
Oh, yeah.
And all those guys. Less Than 12 Parsecs. Retro Inc. All those guys. Are great podcasts, and we love them, and they've been awesome to us. And we couldn't have been where we're at today without the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. It's been absolutely amazing. But we have an opportunity that's come up, you know, our goal for this podcast is to take it as big as we can get it to go.
Absolutely.
That's where we're trying to go. I mean, we've got big plans for our website. I was talking to you guys about that today at lunch, mm-hmm. is what we're planning on doing. Keep an eye out for some of those things over the next few months. We've got a big, you know, we're trying to trying to figure this out. I have a friend of mine at work that's starting a podcast, and he's like, how do I get started? I'm like, you have to start. you know, people, they want it to be perfect before they do things, and we've been anything but perfect from the very beginning. I mean, even this last weekend, Roku Depot, you know, put us in their top five podcasts for last week, but then in the actual description, they're like, audio quality was a little off at times, and they're right, and we're hoping to get that fixed.
Today we had a bunch of technical issues.
It's not like we think we've arrived or we're anywhere close to it, but we're just trying to get as big as we can and reach as many people as possible with what we think is a fun, family-friendly podcast, mm-hmm. And we're excited about that. And so this the opportunities come up for us to be a part of a different network, mm-hmm. and we're really excited about this. We are going to be, as of now, we are members, and this will be our first episode for that, of the Making Star Wars podcast network. Yeah. This is a really big deal for us. Some of the shows that are on there, Tarkin's Top Shelf, of course, Steel Wars with Steel Saunders, and then, of course, now this is podcasting, the flagship, and all these others that are a part of that. Idiots Array, which is a lot of fun. Podcast 2187. All of these shows are really great. And we're excited to be a part of this network and for them to have allowed us to have this opportunity and to be a part of that is awesome. It's going to provide for us more exposure through the MakingStarWars.net website. Which that's going to help us find more listeners. It's going to help us, it adds, MakingStarWars.net is one of the largest, most viewed fan websites around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of those podcasts that are in the network were a part of some pretty big things at Star Wars Celebration and are regularly a part of some pretty awesome things. And they've embraced us even before this. It was Steel Wars and Making Star Wars that invited us to be a part of the San Diego Comic-Con mm-hmm. meetup. And so Making Star Wars, when you were trying to do those comic book updates, they were promoting you. And we're hoping to get those back up and running here soon as well. Because the move and everything else changed a lot of things. But we're getting close to where we're able to start doing some of that stuff again.
Yeah.
It'll provide us opportunities for different guests and different interviews as well. And we're just really excited about that. Awesome. And that has nothing it has nothing to do with our thoughts on the Commonwealth.
No.
We love that network. I told those guys this week when we were going back and forth on chat about it. that I will always feel like we're a part of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Absolutely. Network, and we'll always feel like they're family, and we want to promote them just as much as we ever did with that. And some of them are Patreon supporters, and they and they've expressed that they're still a part of our Patreon family, and that's not going away. And so it's just been really awesome with that. But now we're a part of this new network. We're excited about it. We're hoping that may bring some new exciting things to happen in the future for the show. And you know, it's on, and that's where we're calling phase two. You know, in an end game to a fantasy of Marvel Cinematic Universe mindset, if we wanted to go there, it would be like phase two. This is the beginning of a different season for our show and for our website, and we're excited about that. New website is available now. It's got some new things. We've got new T-shirts. We've got some different things that are on there. So check out that website. We'd love for you to do that. We're going to be rolling out opportunities in the next few weeks, as well as for people to write on the website and to be a part of that. So that's... I guess pretty much going to finish it for me. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Join, please.
Yep, yep.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
A banner year for your company.
Staples wants to help your business achieve big things with 20% back in rewards on your color printing.
Trust the pros at Staples to print whatever your business needs, like color presentations, brochures, and banners.
Prepare yourself for a banner year and banner savings
with 20% back in rewards on your color printing right now at Staples,
where there's a whole lot in store. And 6/22/19 in store only. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/20back. Back for details.
All new Ellen, the newly single Julie Bowen.
I don't want to date. Do you? No, I'm married. I don't think she'd be happy about that.
Plus, Ellen's Million Dollar Man.
You could win $35,000 if you get this one.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC 4 New York. Then at 4, get 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, plus your exclusive 10-day forecast, all before the first commercial. Join Stephen Holt, Natalie Pascarella, and Dave Price for News 4 New York at 4 p.m. today on NBC 4 New York.